Being an American means we are free. And the preamble to our Constitution says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Notice again the preamble said, "We the people secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity." Now, what does liberty mean? Well, obviously it means freedom. It means we are a free people. And what a blessing, what blessings come our way, what particular blessings, what particular freedoms are ours as Americans. And why? Because we are free. On January 6, 1941, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave a speech entitled "The Four Freedoms," in which he spoke of the freedoms that all Americans should be allowed to enjoy. And they are the freedom of speech, of expression. Secondly, the freedom of worship. Thirdly, the freedom from want. And fourth, the freedom from fear. Well, in 1942, Norman Rockwell captured the meaning of these specific freedoms in four paintings, works of art that took him 6 months to paint, and during which time he lost 15 pounds and many nights' sleep. But the effort was certainly worth it. These four iconic illustrations soon appeared in issues of the Saturday Evening Post during the months of February, March 1943, and have become ever since a beautiful source of encouragement and inspiration. I'd like us to look at each of these famous paintings with little commentary for the simple reason they really do speak for themselves. They really do tell a story. And this is the uniqueness which you, I know, are aware of, the genius of Norman Rockwell. His pictures really are worth 1,000 words, and for us, 1,000 thanksgivings. Now, the first painting is the freedom of speech. And thankfully, as Americans, we do have the right to speak our mind, even if we are in the minority. Amendment 1 of the Constitution says, "Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." And so we have here freedom of speech. Second, we have the painting entitled "Freedom of Worship." And how beautiful it is that we as Americans can gather as Westside Baptist Church is doing right now and worship our Savior, the Lord Jesus, without fear or reprisal. Amendment 1 of our Constitution says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." We do not have to worry about governmental constraints or hindrances. Patrick Henry said the following to the Virginia House of Burgeonists. He said, and I quote, "that religion or the duty which we owe our Creator and the manner of discharging it can be directed only by reason and conviction, not by force or violence, and therefore all men are equally entitled to the free exercise of religion according to the dictates of conscience." Ladies and gentlemen, let us always know and understand, especially you children, what a privilege it is to be able to gather as Westside Baptist Church in freedom. That we don't have to, and maybe one day it will change, but we don't have to sign up with the government. This is an authorized church we have freedom to gather to worship our Savior. The third painting is freedom from want. And certainly because the Declaration of Independence says that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we are given the marvelous opportunity to prosper, to earn a decent living, to make something of ourselves, to really become financially independent. Now, the poor will always be with us. That's scriptural. But America still does give us opportunities to prosper. And that's what sets America apart from any other country. We have opportunities to prosper, which, by the way, helps lift all boats, for we then can give to the less fortunate. We have people today that want us to all be the same. They want us all to have the same. Well, if you all have the same, how can you help those who are the same? I mean, you're all in the same boat. And so what a privilege. I always appreciate when the Lord provides for me and I can provide for others. How good the Lord is to Americans. I mean, the food. If you've ever been to other countries, and I remember my trip to Russia, to Moscow, and that's been back in 1989, and to walk into a grocery store in Moscow and to find the shelves mostly empty. And the food that you did see, you asked yourself, would I even want to eat that? And you walk in, we usually shop at Kroger up here on Columbia Road. You walk into Kroger, and I mean, just there, every imaginable type of food is there. And, you know, how we will enjoy, especially this Thanksgiving, the bounty of God's goodness to us as we partake of delicious food. I'm not only talking about just food, I'm talking about delicious food, food that tastes great. How good God is to us. And then the fourth painting is freedom from fear. President Kennedy declared, and what a sad day. We celebrated this past week, 50 years ago, President Kennedy was assassinated. I was in fifth grade. I remember my fifth grade teacher telling us that President Kennedy had been killed, had been shot and killed. I can still remember that moment so vividly. But he declared America was not built on fear. America was built on courage, on imagination, an unbeatable determination to do the job at hand. And how wonderful it is to be able to go to bed at night fearing not the police or government authorities or terrorists that might be on our soil. I can happily report we have no bars on our windows. That's big. When we were down in Brazil visiting David and Jerry Smith, it was amazing to me that just the great work on their front door, and then every window had bars on it, and how they had to be so careful. The walls around their home, how they had to be so careful because of those that would come and try to steal what God had given to them. But how good God is to us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, or is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," meaning there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Which tells me that as long as we remain one nation under God, indivisible, And that's a big word that means undivided. There will be liberty and justice for all. Now let me say that again. As long as we remain a nation, one nation under God, there will be liberty and justice for all. You take away that aspect of our being a nation under God, and I can promise you our liberties will soon disappear. Which really does tell us the ultimate author of our liberty, our freedom, is not the U.S. Constitution, but the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. He is our statue of liberty, who said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And that is found in John chapter 8, verse 36. And so because Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death, which we see in Romans 8, 2, and because through him we can be made servants of righteousness, Romans 6, 18, and because through the grace of God made possible by the gift of grace, the Lord Jesus, which has abounded unto many, and you find that in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, we truly are free indeed. And God used, think about this now, God used Christ's followers who were free men, who were free in Christ, to form this more perfect union in which today we can enjoy freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. God used Christians who were free in Christ to create the nation that we enjoy. I say this Thanksgiving season, let us as Americans declare, O beautiful for pilgrim feet, whose stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God, mend thy every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Again, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be what?
Free.
Free indeed. All these pictures which I so have enjoyed are truly worth 1,000 thanksgivings. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for what we can enjoy as your children. Lord, what you give to us, the life that you give, the hope you give, the freedoms that you give. Lord, you truly have shed your grace on us, on this country. Lord, we think of the privilege that we have to be born in America. Lord, anyone who has traveled overseas immediately understands that it's not the same. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege that we have not only to be your children, but to be citizens of this country. Thank you for the opportunities you give to us. Lord, the opportunity you gave to me 30 years ago, the freedom to knock on doors day after day, just go door to door, day after day, and no one stopped me. No one said, you can't do that. Lord, thank you for the church family you've raised up. And Lord, for the blessing they have been and continue to be. Lord, might they know that they are dearly loved. And thank you for the families you've given this church family. Lord, we've rejoiced to see your gifts of life to them. And Lord, and to us. Lord, life is from you. And Lord, we thank you for being so good to us. Lord, give us thankful hearts. Give us hearts that raise a banner of thanksgiving before you, unto you, Lord. Oh, might we see how good you are to us. Forgive us. Forgive me for mumbling and complaining and, Lord, focusing on what maybe I don't have rather than what I do have. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the strength to be here. Thank you for the love and prayers again of your people on our behalf. Give each one a wonderful thanksgiving. Encourage each heart and bless in Jesus' name. Amen.